Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women of Wisdom, everyone. And for those of you who are listening to my podcast today, ignore the audio feedback. It's every time I speak that there's audio feedback. But I do have a guest today. Don't worry. Her name is Diane Robinson, and we're going to talk about why she started a business and why she is awesome and why that all good stuff. So let me bring Diane on, and then, as I said, don't worry about the audio feedback. It's just a blog talk issue, and that's what I have to deal with. Technology, gotta love it. Okay, here we go. Welcome, Diane, to Women of Wisdom.
Hello, Wynn. How are you?
I am perfectly fine. And my first question to you is, why did you start your company?
Started probably 20 years ago when in my 30s, thinking there was a new direction I should be going, and thinking I'm going to start doing some courses in literature and writing and journalism. And I did start that and wrote in journalism for a while, and decided to branch off into children's literature and took another few years of courses. So 6 years of college by correspondence to find that this is definitely what I want to be doing. And then I started writing children's books in the children's chapter books, and started to research publishers and find out how I was going to get a traditional contract with this, which wasn't as easy as I thought. And it was nine years and 27 rejections later that my first book finally got a traditional contract. So that was my part on perseverance or stubbornness.
Yes, yes. Well, for those of you who know me well and know my public knowledge, I am self-published. And I am looking for a traditional publisher eventually. But I'm coming to find out that, as Diane said, it's harder than you think. And goodness, it's harder than you think.
Yeah, it's a long, hard road, but you know, I think if you've written something that you really believe in, you've done the best you can do in your writing, seek the road, you know, go down the path. It takes a while, but someone, the rejections aren't always about, well, usually they're not anything to do with your writing if you've done well. The rejections are often to do with what those particular publishers are seeking in that year for publication. And, you know, as long as you understand, you know, the road, it's just a matter of until somebody finds that this book belongs in their publishing company.
Now let's talk about the concept of your children's chapter book and your children's book. What are they geared for? Because I know I write middle grade YA young adult novels, thinking about disabilities, but I wasn't sure what you're writing on and who they're geared for, whether they're geared for teens or not.
My books are classified as beginning chapter books, so that can be anywhere from 6 to 11 years old. The main character in my book is 9 years old. Well, it's a series. There's 2 books out now. The third will be out in the fall. And as the books progress, she's only aged, you know, a few months, so she's going to be 9 years old for a while. It's a fantasy adventure series. It's humorous fantasy. I like to stick with a lot of, well, in subtle ways. I don't want to be preachy about it, but I like to have subtle lessons about moral values into the books, and that's regarding friendships and honor and nobility and not judging people or what they look like, things like that. So there's value systems in how Petra, the main character, goes on her adventures and how she treats people, how she becomes friends with all kinds of zany characters along the way.
Well, that leads me to my next question. Because I'm so upfront about my disability and about teaching people about disabilities and the morals coming from the disabled front. Why do you not want to be preachy about it?
Well, just because of all the years of studying for children's literature, that's one of the things we're really steered away from is you can be subtly preachy, but if you are too preachy, kids, you know, how they rebel against being told what to do. So if you put it in subtle lessons into the book, it comes across to the kids a lot easier. That's the only reason.
Because I am actually working on my first children's book, and my background is in education, and I'm laughing because I don't know how to write a children's book. I don't know how to write the best children's book, considering I'm in education.
Oh, yes. Well, there's a lot more to writing children's books than a lot of people think, but it's all stuff that I learned through my years in college, and children's books are classified differently, you know, from your picture books to your picture story books to your chapter books to your YA. There's different classifications, and in those classifications, there's different word count limits, and there's different ways to write, usually being from the third-person point of view in children's, the younger children's books specifically. But once you kind of learn the basics of those things, you know, then it's a matter of just, you know, creating that story and really trying to be within that word count, which sounds easier than it is. Often you're writing a book and you might land up with 7,000 words in your word count for that particular January is 5,000 words. So you're looking at counting, cutting back a lot of words. In cutting back a lot of words, you're making every word count in that book. So there's no jibber-jabber when you're writing children's books. That's what it comes down to.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's definitely not.
Yeah, and I teach a course to adults about writing for children's too, right?
Let's talk about your fabulous photography, because that's what drew me to doing this interview. Not necessarily photography, but your illustrations.
The illustrator, I'm not the illustrator of my books. I am an artist, but I'm not the illustrator of my books. When you have a traditional publishing contract, the illustrators are in-house, and they decide who is going to be the best illustrator for your particular kind of writing. Samantha Kickingbird is the illustrator of the first two books, and she did incredibly fabulous work. Book three is coming out in the fall, and Samantha doesn't work for the publisher anymore. So it was, you know, I signed the contract with the that they did have to get a illustrator that's going to match Samantha's illustrations due because it's a series, right? And actually, I just got the first illustration proof not long ago, and it's really quite amazing. The lady that's doing it this year is
so
awesome.
It's going to be similar, but different.
Well, it can't be exactly the same, but it's very similar, very, very similar. I noticed that the dragon has put on more weight in book three. He's a bigger dragon now, but he has become the royal chef in the kingdom, so that kind of makes sense.
We're talking about a dragon gate.
I thought that was kind of cool when I got the illustration proof. The dragon's at least a couple hundred pounds heavier.
Yes.
I'm laughing because the kids will get a kick out of that.
I think they will too. Yeah.
And I see that on your website. Who does the illustrations that you put up on your website that are absolutely fabulous?
The illustrations on the website are, if you're on the kids page, the illustrations are from books 1 and 2. They're not all up there, but many of the illustrations are up there with, like, secret facts, unknown facts about the characters that aren't in the books. So the kids page on my website is quite comical for kids. And they can also download a PDF coloring book of book 1. And there's also a teacher's lesson plan for grade 4, free teacher's lesson plan for grade 4 based on book 1.
Okay.
But all the illustrations are Samantha Kicking Bird again.
I didn't even open up the kids page.
Oh yeah, it's a cool kids page. I opened up the beginning of your website and got attracted to the illustrations. Yeah, there's several pages on the website, and not all browsers can see all the pages there. I think there's 7 pages totally. So there's an About Me page and the kids page and for librarians.
I didn't necessarily go in depth.
Maybe
I should.
So there's some fun facts for kids there for sure.
Yes. But as I said, the illustrations I did see. But the illustrations I did see are absolutely fabulous.
Yes, they are. Samantha is an awesome illustrator. I couldn't have asked for better.
Which I'm hoping that when the next book comes out in the fall, the illustrations will be as beautiful as they are on your website.
Mm-hmm. I'm hoping the same. I've just gotten an illustrator proof, so it just means that I've gotten one illustration of what the characters of book 3 look like. Petra, the main character, looks herself, which is good. The dragon is fatter. The other new characters, well, we haven't been introduced to them before, but she did an awesome job. So I won't see the full book illustrations probably for a month yet. It's always a little nerve-wracking waiting for illustrations.
Yeah. And there's even in the self-published. But it's interesting now that you can self-publish children's books like There's No Tomorrow. They make kids Kindle.
Yes. Yes, I have another book after book 3 that I'm thinking to self-publish just because there's so many other things you have control of when you have a self-published book, whereas with my traditional contracts, I can't do things like discount my books and do the giveaways and those kind of promotions. So with the fourth book that's going to come out, it's called Grammar for Kids and Dragons. And it's a humorous grammar book, if there is such a thing. I'm trying to do it humorously because I think kids really hate grammar. So I'm thinking this could be a good way to introduce them to some of the basics of grammar. And it's all the characters from my Sir Princess Petra series that are giving the grammar lessons. So that book I'm thinking to self-publish. I'm not quite finished writing it. I'm about 90% done. So I'm thinking that's the road I might go with that book.
Yes, because you get more control of it.
Yes, there's so much more you can do. And I've seen authors, zoom up to number one Amazon sellers and place high because they do have at least one self-published book that they can give away or reduce, and which introduces the readers and followers to the other books that author has written. And it really seems to do a lot to promote.
Yeah.
And I've seen that happen with some of my friends, and it's amazing. So people looking for e-books and children's books are often looking for those discounted books, you know, because their children are going through so many books.
Yes. Yes, they are. I believe that as I educated myself. And what is your other favorite thing to do in life?
Well, I have. I'm an artist, so I do a lot of art myself, and I teach private art lessons. Yeah, I really like that. Otherwise, I have horses, which I really enjoy spending time with.
And so, compared to the art and compared to the horses, which one is your favorite?
Well, if it's a rainy day, I like art, and if it's a sunny day, I like horses.
Good answer.
Good answer.
Good answer. And why haven't you done your own artwork for your children's series?
Say. Being an illustrator and being an artist are two different things. You know, I don't know enough about how to be an illustrator. I do know that there's special programs, special ways you have to do the art. It's not just as simple as often painting a picture and taking a photograph of it. I've never really looked into that. I didn't know that I really wanted to illustrate my own books. But with the self-published one, if I'm going to do the kids grammar for Kids and Dragons, I may look at something like that. I just don't know enough about being an illustrator right now.
Well, I think my vote is that you should do your own artwork in the self-published version.
Yeah, I've been thinking that.
Your artwork is beautiful. I think it's time that you step into your own books.
I've been thinking that. Even black and white sketches for the grammar for Kids and Dragons.
Wonderful. And so, what advice would you give to my listeners who want to lead the path you have gotten on, and yet they are stuck with self-publishing?
The best advice I would think I'd give people in any kind of genre of writing would be to learn your craft. There's so many rules that make a good book, and especially if you're looking for a traditional publisher. But I think it's important, even if you're self-published, that your writing is the best you can do. Learn the craft. Learn whatever genre you're writing in and the age group you're writing in. Like I said, I took 6 years of college to learn a lot about writing, and I feel very confident about that now. I mean, not that a writer never has total confidence, but I feel confident enough to start it and edit myself and know that I've done the best in the long run. After learning your craft, I would say it's very, very important that you get an editor. A lot of people don't get an editor and think it's all okay. With my contracts with a traditional publisher, I have editors, and we go through an editing process, three different kinds of edits that take about 4 months. And, you know, even when I sent in that story in the beginning and thinking, well, okay, it's 90% there, there's so many mistakes and sentences written wrong and not grammar correct and things like that. So having the editor is vital, I think, to a book. And then, you know, just stay on your dream path and follow where you want to go. It's attainable by all of us.
Everybody now is so into self-publishing that I think traditional publishing deals are going out the door.
I think so too. Yeah. The self-publishing industry has really changed the way things are, you know, especially to me, it seems in the last 10 years, where 10 years ago, if you were still looking for a traditional contract, I think it was a lot easier than probably it even is now. The traditional publishers are becoming so extremely fussy about who they're going to publish anymore. So if you haven't built a name for yourself, it's harder. I think a lot of people self-publish a good book and they get their name out there, and then they do get a traditional contract or a literary agent, things like that. So it can work that way too. You know, it's just a matter of whatever you're getting out there.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that
yeah.
My next book will be well enough to get a traditional publishing deal. But we'll see.
We'll see.
It happens a lot, and as long as, you know, you've done a good job with the self-publishing book and got your name out there and got reviews, yeah, people come across it, and, yeah, it's awesome if you can get a literary agent on it. And, you know, literary agents, there's a lot more of them out there and a lot more seeking people to represent, so that's a big bonus, too. They're not only representing traditional published people anymore.
And how can people find your book?
Oh, they're on, well, Amazon and Goodreads and Barnes and Noble, and through my website, all the listings are there. It's on eBooks and all kinds of online sellers distribution. Even under Goodreads, I think all the distributors are listed there.
So the easiest way is to go to your website. And
yeah, if you go to my website, I think it shows all the listings there.
You think? It shows all
well,
the listings?
We're in the middle of revamping my website right now, so it's going to be switched over from that website you saw to a new one. Yeah, it's. I'm hoping everything goes over to the new website in order. I'm just saying that's going to happen here within days if it hasn't already.
Good. So you're making your website even more beautiful than the website that attracted me to this interview.
Yeah, I love the old website. It was awesome, and it was a lot of work to create with my web designer. But the new website is going to be more, I guess, internet-friendly. And, yeah, they have different upgrades how people find you now on the internet and stuff like that. So it was a matter of I don't really have a choice. The old design is not going to work for much longer, as in being found in the indexes, so we had to go to a new design.
Google being picky.
I know. Well, they are being picky, and the new design is, anyway, I'll be able to have total control over it, which will be a real blessing to my web designer, because he's the one that has to update it all the time. But with the new website, I think it's more like a blog where the owner has total control instead of trying to write that HTML text all the time.
Google and self-publishing and traditional publishers are just being picky.
It is being picky.
Yeah,
they've got some strange new rules lately in how you're getting found in the indexes. I know just a few months ago, my website was at about 400,000 index, which is awesome, which has now climbed to, like, I think I'm at a 3 million index. Which is not so good. Meaning I'm not getting found on Google anymore.
Yep. So it's Google.
And that's one of the reasons the website is changing over.
Well, I would you recommend that people go to your website, or would you recommend that people find you someplace else because the website is being transferred?
Probably the best place to find me is on Goodreads, and you can go under my name, Diane May Robinson, or under my books, Sir Princess Petra, and under Goodreads, everything is listed, all the seller sites, and yeah, I think that's probably the best place to go. Goodreads, yes.
Rather than your website. I just wanted to make sure, because we have your website, and it's underneath the synopsis of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to make sure that my listeners could find you.
Yeah, I just went to my website, and it's still up there. So I'm just, you know, when the transition happens, I don't know what's all going to come over from the old website to the new website. Make sure it's all there. But the website is still up.
I understand. And I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your knowledge.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on your show, too.
Thank you, and I hope this helps you, and I hope this helps my listeners.
Well, and I wish you luck with your books, too. I know it's going to be a good journey for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you guys, that was Diane Robinson. As she said, you can find her via goodreads.com. You can also find me via goodreads.com if you want to. I mean, follow me. I don't care. But you can find her via Goodreads for all her amazing children's books via Goodreads. And I'll go to her website. I mean, it's beautiful just to look at. And so you can find her via Goodreads, and then you could help her out by leaving a review, help me out by leaving a review on iTunes for this podcast, on iTunes for my other podcast feed, which comes through Podcast Garden, and so, and also leave a review on Amazon for my books, the view from my heels, the view from my makeup palette. I win 20 Beautiful Women and Empowered Women of Social Media, which was compilated by Hot Pink Bestsellers, and 20 Beautiful Women was compilated by 7 Publishing. So I appreciate the time, and I appreciate all the support for Women of Wisdom.